on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Invest Talk. It is Wednesday, October 7th, 2015. Man, I'm here to help you expand your knowledge, as I say almost every day, and give you a better perspective on what's going on in the market, the economy. Being aware of the market workings over the years helps me put today's movements into perspective. This week's, this month's, today's, try to give you a better idea of what's happening. So what do earnings mean to the stock market? And you've heard me pound on this a lot. Earnings mean just about everything. Not only are they important measurement of individual companies, but they drive the market up or down in general. Now, I wrote about this on my market commentary this morning on investtalk.com. And I talked about every quarter, because this is the quarter we're going to start having earnings. And I'm going to talk about Alcoa today. That's coming up. They're usually the main company that leads off the earnings season. It hasn't come out yet. I think it comes out tomorrow. But, you know, earnings are extremely important. They come out every quarter. And these reports do drive stocks either up or down. Not because of the actual numbers reported, though. Don't confuse, okay, they reported numbers today, therefore the stock has moved. Not necessarily. It's more movement based on surprises or unexpected results from the actual numbers. Why is that the case? It's because experts all quarter long tell us what to expect. And they're always optimistic at the beginning of the quarter for that quarter's earnings, and they ratchet down or readjust the earnings to ensure that most stocks will beat their expectations. And you will find that most stocks, when these earnings come out this month and the next, most stocks, more than half, will probably beat their expectations. But does that mean that they're good earnings? No. Does not mean that they're good earnings. Now, don't think that these experts are manipulating the stock market. They're not. They're very transparent what they're doing. They say clearly what they're doing. They're showing why they came up with these numbers, and they all talk about how they why they're ratcheting down. And so the transparency is there. You can see it. It's not that great. Now, the actual earnings for the quarter are going to be poor. They're not going to be good. They're going to be bad. Now, you're going to say, well, the stock market, you know, is going to fall because of that. No. Everybody knows it's poor. We all know that. We all know it's going to be not very good. As a matter of fact, our expectations might be so low, the market will move up because it was worse than expected. But the earnings numbers themselves are not going to be very good. And technically, we are in a what we call an earnings recession. Not an economic recession, an earnings recession. With two quarters in a row, earnings have fallen. But, you know, there's no official definition of what that might be. But, you know, that's not something that you need to panic about. It's just something you need to be aware of. Remember, our economy is driven by the consumer. 70% of our economy, 70% of our GDP activity is from the consumer and their spending. About 10% of the GDP is corporate earnings. So if the consumers keep spending, then the economy will be fine. And there has been times in history where we've had an earnings recession, but an economic growth, which looks like what we're dealing with now. One of the reasons is because it's very confined to the commodities area as the earnings fall. I mean, there's some places, certain parts of the market that it's confined to. Anyway, lack of earnings, slow earnings, no earnings growth is a concern. It is a possibility of recession for the economy down the road. Something needs to happen. And it might be one of the reasons, one of several reasons, why the Fed is not too anxious to raise rates. But not to worry, because probably almost all of these bad earnings are built into the market. We'll see, you know, but they probably are. Now, do you have a question about earnings? You can check in now. Please feel free to join in on the conversation. And before we go further, let's check in with our 24-hour listen line. We're here for you. Our number is 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Karen. I enjoy your show. I called because over the last years, I feel my accounts have not benefited from the growth in the market, possibly because of over-investment in the areas that were down, energy, precious metals, and emerging markets. I called you previously and you told me to stay there, but I don't know what I should do with the remainder of my cash, especially because the market is not at the bottom or the top. It's in the middle. One of the things I've thought of was the Fidelity Floating Rate High Income Fund. I've seen it recommended in various magazines, but when I looked it up, it said it also was subject to credit risk. I wonder if you could comment on that fund. Thanks so much for a great show. Bye.
When you hear high income fund or any fund that's has high income and is using bonds, that usually refers to that they're buying junk bonds. Okay, and I would tell you to stay away from that at this point because junk bonds have been falling, and there are going to be a bunch of defaults next year, especially from the oil patch. And that high income fund, you really want to know what's inside it. And I don't know what's inside it, but I have a feeling they're going to have a lot of junk bonds because that's the only way you can get high income. So I would say if you would, you know, maybe send me an email and I'll look up the holdings for you and see if it's full of junk bonds. Just refer to the phone call and the message tonight and I'll be able to pick you out of the emails that I get. I do respond to all my emails, but it just takes a little time. But, and you'll note that when I suggested you hold on to the gold and hold on to emerging markets, I hope you've noticed that the gold has now perked up nicely. The gold mining stocks, emerging markets has all of a sudden started to pick up. It looks like they've done nicely the last 4 or 5 days. It's starting to show some strength. So it looks like you're going to get that bounce I was anticipating when you called earlier. Now, how far up it will go, I don't think you should have too much in emerging markets and you shouldn't have too much in any one sector. So it would be helpful if you could send me your whole portfolio and I'll be happy to make a comment on it. I do that all the time. You know, or if you want to sit down and meet with me, if you're in, you know, the West Coast, I'll be happy to do that. Or we can talk on the phone. Either way. But I would be very skeptical about that high income fund at this stage. Junk bonds have made a rebound here in the last 3 or 4 days. But they have been one of the worst performing sectors of the market for the year. I mean, really poor. So I would be very careful with that. Be very careful. Thanks for the call, though. I appreciate it. And don't hesitate. Send me an email, send me your portfolio, or call me at the office. Don't hesitate to do that, please. So what happens when the ETF magic doesn't work? Exchange-traded fund. That's one of our talking points. And could we say that it doesn't work? We'll talk about that. Also, I want to talk about Alcoa. Alcoa is breaking up in two companies. You know that, right? Well, we'll talk about that too. But why do I look at Alcoa every quarter? Why do we look at Alcoa so closely? And what are their numbers what are they being anticipating for those numbers? So I want to talk about that. And besides low unemployment of 5.1%, how healthy is the job market? So that's something I wanted to talk about when those numbers came out. Never got around to it, but I will do it. And, you know, we talked to the reason why this is kind of the earnings show, because we're now into earnings season. And we did talk about earnings not telling the whole story. So we'll talk about that. Also, October has a bad rap about returns. Do you know that that's really wrong? It's wrong. It shouldn't get the bad rap. So why is that? I'm going to talk about that as well. The market was up again today, 122 points on the Dow, 43 points on the NASDAQ, and 16 points on the S&P 500. So we're having a bounce up. And the question is how far up will it go? There are certain resistance levels that is at right now. The S&P is really at a very strong resistance level right now. The Dow is above the little strong resistance level. So we'll see if they can, how far they can march up. There's another level that they need to break before you can say, okay, we're probably going to have a year-end rally. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there that maybe, because remember we talked about the low in August, and I said, as it bounced up in there, I said, well, it would be very health restoring if we retest those lows, and that's what we had, a successful retest. So now, I'm getting a little bit more positive. We'll see. I'm Registered Investment Advisor Steve Peasley. I want to hear your comments and questions today. InvestTalk is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Our firm serves clients all across the country. If you'd like to see the descriptions of our programs, just let me know. You're listening to InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART. Let's go talk to James in New York. How you doing, James?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Yes, I'd like to know about, in terms of a short-term trade on the position on the ticker symbol VASC, V-A-S-C, Vascular Solutions. I know it's made a little bit of money over the last year or so. It went, you know, we saw it rise a little bit. I was wondering maybe if at this level it might be a good short-term play. Might I see it go up to, say, $36, $37, or even $40 sometime soon?
I would say my quick answer would be yes. I think it would. For everybody else, it's Vascular Solutions, symbol VASC, develops medical devices used in intervenous procedures by cardiologists and radiologists. It's a very small cap company, $564 million, making good money. It's going to make $1.03 this year. That's up 26%. $1.24 next year. That's up 20%. Sales growth are accelerating from 16% to 22%. And it's always been around 15, 16% or higher for the last 2 years. So it's got those fundamentals, James. And if you look at a chart, you know, fundamentally, it's solid. It's a little expensive because the stock is trading at $32.57. But it used to be close to $40, okay? And it's fallen down to this level. And this level is right at the 200-day moving average, and it has been riding the 200-day moving average for well over a week. 9 days, almost 2 weeks, and holding, which tells me that there's a lot of support right here. And you go back and look at it. So if it breaks below, and I'm going to say 31.50, then I'd probably say that you've got to get out of that short-term trade if that's what you're going to do. I think it has a real shot to go up to between $36 and $38 before the end of the year.
Before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, James. Thanks. VASC, small cap, high volatility, short-term trade, looks good. Long-term, it could do well, too, but he was looking for short-term. Let's go to Glenn in Belmont. How are you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, you do a great job all the time.
Thank you.
I've got a question for you on Fortinet, FTNT security, cyber security, or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I've had it for a while. I've had it for quite a while. I've made pretty good profit in it thus far. It's a great sector, I think. I'm just wondering if I should stay with the sector
I'm going to have to pick it up after the break. If you hold on, I will get to it. And if you just hold on, I'm Registered Investment Advisor Steve Peasley. A number to join us, 888-99-CHART. This is InvestTalk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. How much can we really expect from stocks, bonds, and cash over the next 10, 20, or even 30 years? Are we going to have to settle for smaller gains? That's our talking point for Thursday's podcast. Bring your questions and join us then, please.
Glenn, thank you for holding. I appreciate it. I'm sorry I had to go on break there because they forced that on me. I'm sorry. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Fortinet Inc. You own it, and you want to know if you should hold on to it.
Yeah, I've had a pretty good profit. I've been holding for a while, but the sector seems pretty good, and maybe I should be staying with it. And if I shouldn't stay with it, where do you think I should bail out?
Well, the company is a very good company. They're making money. They've grown their money pretty decently. Sales are increasing sharply, 20-30%. The stock used to be $50 in August, and it sold off just like the rest of the market. It's now at $43.05. It's making a small comeback, not a great comeback, but a small comeback. And the only problem you have with it, Glenn, is that it's kind of expensive. They're going to make 71 cents a share next year. That's a 37% increase, and it's a $43 stock. So 71 cents, you're looking at, let's see, you're still looking at like a 60-70 PE ratio. That's the issue. You know, can it push higher? Well, if it keeps that growth up, it probably will go higher. You know, but it's already selling at a pretty good premium to the earnings. So if it was me, I probably would take some profit off the table because it is so expensive. How many shares do you have?
I got a lot.
Okay.
Pretty heavy.
Okay.
Then I'm thinking, if you're saying maybe get out, where is a good spot dollar-wise?
Well, you know, the market has gone up pretty sharply the last 4 or 5 days. In the last 2 days, it's fallen. So I would take some profits off out tomorrow. I would take some of them off the table. Mm-hmm. Because it's going down 2 days where the market's gone up strongly 2 days. Why is that? Therefore, you know, the traders and investors in the stock are thinking, maybe I should take some money off the table. And that's what they're doing. And I think you should too.
Do you think it's worth the wait to hear how earnings come out if we get some good out of it?
Well, I'll tell you this. Every time I've ever done that, because I've tracked it, wait till the earnings because they're going to be good. I have been kind of more disappointed than not. You know, the surprise on the upside will shoot this thing up. But if you come in with a downside surprise, this stock could really take a hit because of the high cost PE ratio that it's supporting. It has to surprise to the upside for it. Even if it comes in at expectations, the stock will probably go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Do you think I should put when it gets close to earnings, do you think I could put a quick stop on it somewhere?
You can, but my experience also is that it will skip over your stop. And you won't get it at the price that you put in. If you put a limit stop, which is an exact price which you want, it may jump over that. If you put a market order stop, the market could open up, you know, 10% down, and then you get sold 10% down. So I would not do that. I would sell it. If you're going to sell some, go ahead and just sell some. Don't put a stop in it.
Okay. All right.
Appreciate the call, James. Thank you very much. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. Our number to join us right now is 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So please give us a call. I'd love to talk to you. October has a bad rap, and it really shouldn't. October is very often the mark of a bottom of the market. Very often it does that. And one of the reasons it has a really bad rap is because it's famous for its crashes. 1929 crash happened in October. 1987, where the market went down 20% in one day, happened in October. 2008, remember that? That's not that long ago. And even 2011. These were really tough market months and October was the month. But the average return over the last 20 years for October is 1.65% for the month. And the last 5 years, October has been up better than average all 5 years. Now, the issue is October usually marks the bottom. It could be a bottom and then run up before the end of the month. It's not uncommon that happens. It's gotten this bad rap because of the big, huge downstrokes the few times it's happened. And they've happened in October. So October can be very volatile. It can be volatile. But now that we have, remember I talked about a stat that was kind of interesting, that if August is down and September is down, if both months are down, usually October is up. Now, will it be up this time? Even in the face of pretty darn poor earnings reports that are going to come out? Well, remember, the earnings reports might come out poor, but you're going to get a lot of headline news saying they beat expectations. Oh, look at that. They came in at 13 cents per share, and they expected only 12. Yay, that beat expectations. And not and just ignore how bad they really were last year for the same quarter, which was earnings maybe double that. Yeah, so that's what we're facing, a poor earnings overall. But remember, Wall Street has a good way to beat their chest and put a good spin on it for everybody. This is Invest Talk. We've reached the halfway mark in the hour. There's still plenty of time to join in the discussion. I hope you do. Coming up tomorrow on Invest Talk, we'll replay a discussion we had with the economics professor and Social Security expert who believes he can get you the benefits you deserve. That's tomorrow on Invest Talk.
Talk for Wednesday, October 7th. We're open to any money question. If you've been out of the market, what strategy should you use to get back in now? Bring your question to Steve. His line is open at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Frank in Danville. How you doing, Frank?
Hey, Frank. Hey, Steve. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
I really like the show. Yeah, I like the fact you and Justin are value-oriented investors, and you look at fundamentals, and that's my approach. That's my philosophy also.
Oh, okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a company named Allergan.
The uh-huh.
ticker symbol is AGN. You know, the thing that I've had this stock since 2009 approximately. And I want to add to my position, the thing that kind of perplexes me about this stock is the earnings, the net income and the earnings has been negative the past 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Like the trailing 12 months in 2014 and 2013. And yet, you know, The thing that looks good about it is the debt is modest, the assets and the book value per share has been growing tremendously.
Yeah.
The stock price has been going up quite well the whole time that I've had it. But the thing that just kind of perplexes me is that its net income and its earnings per share is negative. And I suspect it has something to do with the fact that the company has acquired other drug companies.
I'm not sure. I'm not seeing a negative earnings per share number in anywhere. I'm seeing positive earnings per share number. Now, if you're talking about next year's earnings are going to go down a little bit, that is true. Okay, but not negative, meaning they're going to lose money. They're not losing money. They're making a lot of money. They're just going to make less money next year than they did this year, that they're going to make this year. But they're still, they're going to make $17.87 a share this year. Next year, it's going to be $16.39, 8% reduction. And that's probably why you're seeing a little bit of weakness. But I don't think, you know, you've held on to it for 2009. The sales are doing very well. They're growing, and they... Sales actually went up 100% this most recent quarter, but that might be because of the acquisition that they had, not, you know, just internal sales growth. So cash flow is very high. Mutual funds are buying it. Management doesn't own any stock, and that's a worry. And they're carrying some debt, return equity 16%. Frank, to tell you the truth, I kind of like it. Does Allergan, everybody, develop generic and branded drugs for hypertension, sleep disorders, contraception, pain, and other kinds of treatments. And it's not that expensive. It's a $286 stock, and they're going to make $17.87 this year. So what is that, a 17, 18 PE? So it's not like it's hugely expensive, Frank. It's really not. It's not
right.
Cheap. You can't say it's cheap, but you can't say it's super expensive either. You can't. So I don't know. I think if you want to be a long-term holder, you still should be a long-term holder in this guy.
Okay. Yeah. I looked at the stock on Bloomberg and MSN Money. They always show a negative earnings and I don't know why.
Did they say they're going to, when they mentioned that, Frank, did they say it's going to lose 3 cents a share, 20 cents a share, $1.20? Did they say they were going to lose money per share? Or they just said that their earnings were going to go down next year? See, still positive, but go down from year over to year.
Their listed earnings for 2014 and 2013 show up as a negative.
I don't have that. My data that I pay for doesn't show that at all. Shows the earnings growth. $9.50 earnings for 2013 per share. 2014, $13.98 a share. Then this year it's going to be $17.87 a share. That's the estimate. But the actual earnings, those are actual numbers. I don't see how they can be anything but good. Frank, check that out. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. AGN, everybody. That's a stall. Allergan. 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 888-992-4278. You know, we need to talk about ETFs. You know, the market had a huge down period in a very short period of time in August, right? Exchange-traded funds generally track an index or a subset of the market sectors or a whole sector, something, it tracks something. And it actually generally holds those positions that it's tracking. It holds a certain number of them. And there's been some confusion about why the ETFs fell so hard during that period in August. And was there a disconnect from the underlying shares that they owned and the ETF price? And looking back and taking a look at that, there's been a lot of, maybe you haven't heard about it, but there's been a lot of criticism that they weren't tracking right. And because one of the things that everybody likes about ETFs is the liquidity, and they track the index or in the sector that they're looking, that they want, and those are good things. And be honest, there's no room for criticism. If you look at like the financial ETF, okay, take a look, and you'll see that it really collapsed during that 1 or 2 day period in August. But look at the underlying holdings, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo. Look at underlying hold; they collapsed too. That's why the whole ETF collapsed, because the underlying holdings collapsed. And that's exactly how it's supposed to work. Some people think that because they're diversified, that they won't collapse like the stocks they hold as much, and that's not true. They're going to track very, very close to what they hold. Will it be perfect? No, never going to be perfect, but it's going to be very, very close. And unless it's a closed-in ETF or ETN, they call them, they don't necessarily track the underlying. They own the underlying positions, but they could sell at a premium or a discount, as I mentioned the other day. Whereas an ETF, which is opened in, which most of them are, they track very closely the underlying holdings. And if you go back and look, you'll find that that's true. Okay, one of the criticisms that they fell so hard so fast at the opening of that particular market, well, take a look at the underlying holdings. They did too, 17, 20% down before they opened up that day. Same thing, same. So the ETF did too. And you got to remember, you got to think about what the ETF holds and how much of the big boys it holds and what is it weighted to certain sectors? That's why I always mention, make sure you understand what you own in those ETFs. You know, if the ETF, if you look at an ETF, and the one that I remember well is EWZ, which is the Brazilian ETF. And I, at one point, a number of years ago, I was looking at it, and it had about 50% exposure to just one stock, and that was Petrobrazil. So 50% means whatever Petrobrazil did, is that ETF was going to follow it. It's so heavy of an allocation in just one company. So, you know, if you look at a financial ETF, is it allocated, does it have J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, and how much of those does it have compared to all the other holdings? And will those three, four, five companies tell the take of the whole ETF? It's not as diverse as you might think. That's why you need to look at it. There's more than one reason to become an InvestTalk Insider, everybody. In fact, there are dozens of good reasons. We have a whole library of webinars and information one-sheets, all kinds of investing topics, all kinds. It's free to join. You can do it. And it's really pretty simple. Just go to InvestTalk.com, look for the InvestTalk Insider sign-up sheet.
KPP Financial offers a whole range of financial services for their clients beyond the management of investment portfolios. They know that life is more than that. And now, KPP Financial has a licensed real estate agent on staff to help you make the best possible choices when it comes to decisions about your home. To learn more about their investment programs, visit investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab.
You know, I've owned many rental properties in my lifetime. I've sold them all, and I don't own them anymore, but I sold them all. So we do have a lot of real estate experience. If you have those kinds of questions, don't hesitate to ask them. Let's go to Dave in Cupertino. How are you doing, Dave?
Good. How are you doing, Steve?
Love
the show. Listen every day.
Thank you.
My question revolves around a comment you made earlier in the show, and it's about support levels.
Okay.
You were talking about how the Dow and the S&P are at or near support levels, and I'm just wondering what criteria does KPP use to determine support levels for the major indexes,
okay,
and other types of funds, stocks, mutual, or ETFs.
Okay.
And if there's a particular website that KPP uses, it would be kind of interesting for me to know, or
okay,
I could hone in my investing talents,
sure,
and skills a little bit better.
There's no website that I know of that will tell you, oh, this is support and this is resistance, even though that might exist out there. But if you go to stockcharts.com, type in the S&P 500, which is $SPX, and make sure you're looking at a year chart, well, 1 year chart. You'll see that the S&P 500 came down to a certain level back in last October, and then it bounced up. Then you'll see it came down to that very same level, or very close, not exactly, but very close to that very same level in August, bounced up a little bit, then came down and retested that August low 5 days ago. 7 days ago. And then came up again. So when a stock goes down to a certain point, then bounces up, comes back down to that very close to that very same point, you know then there, and then bounces up again, you know that that is support. That is a support level. This is basic charting. Now it's done it three times in a year. A triple bottom, we call that.
Okay.
Now it's bouncing up from that triple bottom. That's support. Okay? Wherever a stock trades before and bounces up before and has done it two or three times, that would be considered support levels. Now, resistance level. If you look at the low that it made in August and it bounced up, it came down and gave back half of that, bounced up again right to where it was, right where the bounce up was, then came down and retest the lows, and now today it bounced up again. Now you know how you have resistance. It's got to get through that resistance. And Dave, this is just a mini charting lesson, but this there's no you just know these from observing how this works, and you can get some books on it, how to read charts. Now I'll say this, David, reading charts is not a science; it's an art.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to be true. It's not always true. And why it tends to be true is because people like me react to what we see and we make it happen. We buy and sell because what we see.
I see.
That's all. That's all there is to it.
Is a one-year chart then the best way to look for support levels and resistance levels?
That's where you start, with a one-year daily chart. And what you do is if you go back and you see no support or resistance in 1 year, let's say the stock just kept going up and up and up and up and up over a year period, then you do a weekly chart to see where there might be support or resistance. You go longer.
Now, are we talking about volume support?
No,
price support.
Price.
Okay.
And volume will help you decide if it's going to break up through support or break down. Break down through support or break up through resistance. Volume will help you decide that.
I see.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time here.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul, Dave. I appreciate that. Let's go to Clay in San Francisco. How are you doing, Clay?
Doing good. Question for you on LCI, Lynette. Wanted to see what your thoughts are going forth with the purchase that they made of a company and what they look like down the road.
Okay, Lynette, they bought, was it Jazz Pharmaceutical? Is that who they bought? Jazz, who did they buy?
No, it wasn't Jazz, it was another one.
Was it UCB?
Huh.
Well, I can't remember the name, but Lynette Corporation develops generic versions of drugs that treat thyroid deficiencies, migraines, epilepsy, glaucoma, and other conditions. They are doing pretty well. Sales are growing fast. Earnings are growing fast. And it's a pretty inexpensive stock with 11 P, where it's going to grow earnings 2% this year and 18% next year. This looks like a really good buy point to me, Clay.
Beautiful.
So I would buy it here if you want. It has no debt. It's cheap. I kind of like this stock right here. Okay?
All right.
Good luck with it.
Thank you.
Good luck, Clay. I hope it works.
All right.
Each month, I schedule a day or two to visit one of our satellite offices in California, and I'm going to be in San Jose on November 11th for a day of one-to-one meetings with listeners who would like me to review their retirement portfolios. Love to see you. Times are set on a first-come, first-served basis, so you can reserve your time by going to InvestTalk.com and clicking on Schedule a Meeting. This is InvestTalk.
Our podcast distribution is made possible every day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. What's the most important reason to go with a registered investment advisor? Their number one fiduciary responsibility is protecting your assets, watching the markets closely, and having a ready plan to respond to changing market and economic conditions. KPP Financial offers a whole range of financial services for their clients, and now KPP Financial has a licensed real estate agent on staff to help you make the best possible choices when it comes to decisions about your home. To learn more about their investment programs, visit investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab.
888-992-4278. It was time for an Invest Talk Personal, everybody. Day-to-day money choices that have a lasting impact on your financial health. The big mistake that over 100 million Americans have made is that they don't have a financial plan. Now, don't think of a financial plan that's going to control every penny you spend and I can't, I'm locking myself in. You need to have a financial and investing plan that helps guide you long-term, your long-term behavior. And I've always said many, many times, and you need to do this, you need to spend less than you earn. Then you need to stick with the plan, okay? Have at least a simple budget. How much I'm going to pay for groceries, how much entertainment, how much for clothing, how much for transportation. Just a simple budget. Put money aside for immediate needs. Always have emergency money. And then always put money aside for long-term goals. Okay, it doesn't matter how much you save. You just got to get on the saving. You got to get on that pattern. Okay? Now, and when it comes to vesting, keep it simple. At least at first, keep it simple. You don't have to make it complex. Buy an index fund. You know, the key reason why many Americans never start investing is that they have the mistaken impression that it's too complicated. Keep it simple. You don't have to make it complicated. But you got to do it. You can use index funds, index mutual funds, or index ETFs. Talk to a guy today about that. Just use these. You don't have to hire a money manager. You don't have to make it more complex. You know, you don't. That's Invest Talk Personal, everybody. If you have questions on this topic or any money matter, it's time to check in and ask. 888-99-CHART. You can make a personal note, send me an email by clicking on Contact Steve on investtalk.com. I had an email. Someone called and sent me an email and says, "Hi, Justin, Steve, love the show. I'm 26 and recently started investing through a brokerage account. My retirement is through a state pension, so I'm looking to build an aggressive portfolio. I'm currently investing 50% in VBK, that's an ETF, and 50% in VXUX, another ETF. Do you think this is too aggressive? Thanks. I'll be listening to podcasts." And then my answer would be no. VBK is a small cap. Small cap. Remember, he already has a retirement state pension plan in place. This is his extra money, and he's only 26. He should be aggressive. VBK is small cap stock. That's pretty aggressive, but small caps go up a lot faster when the market goes up, and they go faster down. But overall, they outperform the market. The other one, VXUS, is a total stock market ETF, and both these are Vanguard, I think they're both Vanguard, and that's the total market, so it's pretty diverse. You will not have too much overlap, but the total market means it'll have all the stocks that are in the small cap, because it's a total market. If you wanted to be a little bit different, you would maybe invest in the mid cap, and then the large cap growth funds that Vanguard has. Vanguard has ETFs that grow too. And then you would be in different parts. But when you ask the question, is this too aggressive? The answer will be no. It's not too aggressive for you. You as a young person should be aggressive. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk about Alcoa. Alcoa is going to report earnings here tomorrow, I think it is. They expect to report 13 cents per share. Do you know what it was a year ago in the same quarter? It's 31 cents. Remember I talked at the beginning of the show that earnings are not going to look good? They're still going to be up, but they're not going to be look good. Now, the experts said that Alcoa at the beginning of the quarter said they were going to make 21 cents, and it ratcheted all the way down to 13 cents per share. See how they do that? It's a perfect example of how they do that. They always start optimistic, and then they ratchet it down. Okay? Alcoa is down 30% year-to-date. Many of the commodity stocks got crushed, right? They recently got an order for $1 billion for Airbus. And when that happened on October 5th, the stock went up 9.4%. What you want to look at the earnings is global demand. Is global demand going up or down? The estimate is it's going to go up 6.5% this year. And just remember, Alcoa is going to split into two companies. Going to keep the old name Alcoa for its mining and alumina and refining, and a new company that's going to have the value-added parts, rolled products, engineered products, transportation and construction products. Going to split in two. Hour's up. Thank you for being here and spending this time with me. If you have a money topic you'd like to hear discuss, send me a note. Be happy to do it. Or you can call our 888-99-CHART number and leave the question on that number. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley, and on behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis. and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.